Shall we please stand? Would you kneel with me in a word of prayer? Our kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, as we would come to Thee this evening, we're thankful for this opportunity we have to gather together to hear Thy Word preached. Father, I ask for Thy Spirit to be upon our brother as he has prepared a message. I ask that You'd give him liberty of thought and of mind to be able to communicate to us the message that You have for us, that we might be able to take it to our hearts and apply it in our life. Father, I pray that You'd bless our many who stand in need of our prayers, physically and spiritually, many suffering from cancers, the many who are having problems with their hearts and other physical problems, but also spiritual, Lord. Those many who are struggling with temptations in their life, I ask for Thy strength to reach out and touch them and remind them. Father, I pray that You would bless are scattered and isolated. I ask that You bless those who are loved ones in foreign lands. I pray, Lord, that You bless the reunion up in Idaho. And as it continues, Father, I ask that You would bless their meetings and that as they would be going their separate ways, I pray, Lord, that You would watch over and protect them, everyone on the highways. Father, I again ask that You would bless this people, that You bless this local, that You would help us to see what is Thy will, and to do it. And I ask it in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to continue this evening with number 91. And while you're looking that up, I'm going to read the announcements for the week. Tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock on Monday, there's the open forum for discussion in the kitchen. Anyone who desires to attend is more than welcome. Wednesday at 7 o'clock is a prayer service. Next Saturday at 9:45 is Sunday school. 11 o'clock we have a preaching service with our brother Glenn Orsted. 5:30 is a song service. And at 6 o'clock we're going to have a preaching service with our brother Andy Brown. Vacation church school is going to begin June 23rd through the 27th. from 9 to 11:30. Please give Michelle Ely registration forms ASAP. All students, should, except for the senior graduate boys, should bring a pre-washed T-shirt that hasn't been without any fabric softener. Are there any other announcements anybody knows about? Number 91, would you please stand? I would now ask that you would give our brother Ken your careful and your prayerful attention.
I'm going to begin this evening with an oral quiz. We're going to have a test. You're going to have to remember all the way back to last Sunday evening, and you're going to have to remember the sermon from this morning. So, can somebody tell me what our brother Don preached about last week? What did he preach about? Karen? Hit the mark. What mark? Reaching our goal with God. Anything else you remember from Don's sermon last week? Dennis? But the mark that we have is not the same one that God set before us sometimes. Look beyond the mark. He kind of pinpointed the time that we're living in, didn't he? How about this morning? What did we gather from the morning sermon? We can change the way we think and then change our behavior. Is what we give good enough for God? It's kind of the theme of it, wasn't it? Is our sacrifice good enough for God? Is what we give, is our love and our service good enough for God? So can everybody raise their hand and say that they remember this morning's sermon? Okay, you guys can leave. The rest of us have to stay. No. As Bob was preaching this morning, and I was talking to him a little bit before church, you know, I could have said diddle and sit down. Kind of my thoughts have been going along that same direction of the time that we're living in, and is our sacrifice, is our lives, is what we're giving to God what He wants? Is it sufficient for Him? Michelle had asked me, you know, she wants to know 4 weeks ahead of time what the theme of this, what the title of the sermon is. And she asked me last Sunday what it was, and I said, I have absolutely no idea. So this morning I gave her a title, and I titled it, Are We There Yet? Are We There Yet? Parents, you know, you've been driving for 3 days, and how many times have your kids asked you that question? Are we there yet? You know, every 15 minutes or so, are we there yet? At the beginning of the year, around January, December, last year, the beginning of January this year, many of us probably were thinking about some spiritual goals for this year. Where do we want to be at the end of the year? What do we want to accomplish this year? You know, I think we've all, to a certain extent, have done that. Have we all reached them? Have we all accomplished our goals? Are we there yet? You know, are we there yet? You know, we're on a, just like we're driving cross country with our kids, we're on a spiritual journey with God. You know, are we there yet? Have we reached our spiritual goals? Have we accomplished the things in our life that we want for ourselves and for the church, for the gospel, spiritually? Have we accomplished all that we've set out to do? You know, when our kids have asked that question, are we there yet? You know, the obvious answer is no. If we were there, they wouldn't have to ask the question. So no, we're not there. You know, the answer is we probably haven't accomplished everything in our lives that we've set out to do. We're not there yet spiritually. This journey that we're on is a lifelong journey. And Brother Don last week kind of put us in the time frame, I believe, of where we're at today. You know, that the Lord, for the last time, is pruning His vineyard, that He's calling laborers to labor with our mites to ready the harvest. Kind of put us in perspective of prophecy and the things that are going to transpire and the return of the Lord. And it's, you know, it's close. It really is. The return of the Lord is close. You know, and Bob this morning, I thought he used a very good analogy. You know, when he compared offering the best sacrifice under the law of Moses, the best that we had, the best that they had, comparing it to today, do we offer the best that we have? You know, in our service, in our dedication, in our spiritual life, are we giving God the best that we have? Now, sometimes we may ask ourselves, you know, what do I, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Average Church Attender, average Christian, average Church of Christ member, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? You know, there's the obvious things. We can serve here at church. We can pray. We can be of service to others. We can be diligent in our coming to church and to doing things for other people. We can do all the things that, you know, we don't lie, we don't cheat, we don't steal. Those are the things that we do, but what else can we do? What's the biggest single thing, perhaps, that God requires of just the average person in the Church of Christ? Sister Meredith, who can't go to Honduras or Africa or the Philippines and help spread the gospel, what can she do? What's her service to God? What's our service? What's God require of us? One of the biggest things I believe that we can do is strive to be more righteous. Righteousness. You know, and our righteousness, our individual righteousness really affects the church as a whole. You know, we're the sum and total of the body of Christ. And when one person struggles, to a certain extent, the whole church struggles. There are many reasons why we really need to strive to be more righteous. You know, I think any of us could come up with several reasons. One just mentioned is the spiritual well-being of the church, of the body of Christ, is one of the reasons why we should strive to be more righteous. Another one is our standing with God. You know, in Peter, I'm not going to quote it again. I think I used it last time. But he says, judgment is going to begin at the house of God. We're going to be judged on our righteousness. We're going to be judged on our service. We're going to be judged on our hearts. We're going to be judged on our thoughts, our desires, the things that we did with our lives, the decisions that we made. We're going to be judged on those. In a way, it's kind of an ominous scripture. He says, you know, judgment's going to begin at the house of God if the righteous scarcely be saved. If we're scarcely going to be saved, and we're saved through the blood of Christ. And that's the only way that we can be saved. The righteous, we can't get there in our works. We can't get there in our personal righteousness, but our righteousness shows our dedication and our love and our service. He says, if we scarcely be saved, where are the sinners going to be? Those that have no regard for the laws of God, those who have disobeyed the laws of God, those that have chosen not to serve, where are they going to be? This judgment is ongoing. It's not something I believe that's going to happen when Christ returns. You know, that's going to be the sentence. But our judgment is daily. We're judged on what we do today, what we do tomorrow, what we've done yesterday. We're judged on those things that we do in our life. And that judgment is going to determine whether we're worthy to be part of the gospel, to be part of the kingdom of heaven. You know, God really requires a lot. It requires much from each of us. One verse in 3 Nephi chapter 7, the 10th verse. 3 Nephi chapter 7, verse 10, he says, behold, I am the law and the light. Look unto me and endure to the end, and ye shall live. For unto him that endureth to the end will I give eternal life. That's his call to us. That's our duty before God, is to endure to the end. To endure the trials and the afflictions of this life. To endure the temptations of Satan, to endure the weaknesses of the flesh, to endure those things that would cause us to veer from that path that God has set before us. He says, look unto him. Look unto Christ. He's our example. He's our guide. He's our direction. He says, if we look unto him and endure to the end, we shall have eternal life. But, you know, Christ says, look unto him, endure to the end, keep his commandments. But what's going to happen on our journey? Satan's going to come along and he's going to try to distract us. He's going to try to destroy our faith, to destroy our service, destroy our peace, our well-being. He's going to try to rob us of salvation. In the book of Helaman, it says that he seeks to hurl away your souls down to an everlasting misery and endless woe. That's Satan's desire, to hurl our souls away to an everlasting misery. How does he do it? How does he do it? You know, he does it in simple ways and in subtle ways. He tries to discourage us. He uses discouragement, makes us want to give up. It's too difficult. It's too hard. I can't do it. How many times have you heard somebody say, I can't do this. It's too hard. No, it's not. Now, Bob used the analogy, you know, this morning of Lehi asking his sons to go back to Jerusalem. Oh, that's too far. That's too hard. We can't do it. We don't want to do it. But it was Brian, the priest of the sermon, he says, when we say that can't do it. It says we won't do it. We don't want to do it. We don't want to do it. So he tries to discourage us and make us want to give up. It's too difficult. That's too far to go. It's too steep. It's too hard. He fills our minds with the useless things of the world. We're so distracted. We're distracted every day by the things of the world, things that are useless, things that have no value to our souls, and that are really no value in this life. Frivolous things. The lust of the heart, the lust of the mind, the lust of the eye, things that we want, things that we... concepts, ideas even, things that we want to possess. It fills our mind with these things. Sometimes he keeps us busy with unproductive activities. Things that take away our time and waste our time. They're time stealers. He's good at that. That's probably one of his best tools, is stealing our time. Of course, he makes us angry. Makes us think bad of other people. Causes us to be at ease in our spiritual lives. Oh, I'm doing okay. I come to church twice, three times a week. You know, I pay my tithing. I serve here and I do this. And generally an all-around pretty good person. And we kind of get at ease with it. And we kind of, when you get at ease with something, what do? You stop being on guard. You lose your edge. You know, us parents that have taught one or more of our kids how to drive a car. You know, at first they're really careful, you know, and they look both ways and they observe the speed limit and they stop at stop signs and all these things, you know. But then they get comfortable. Start to get a little more comfortable behind the wheel. Start to go a little faster and, you know, kind of ease through a stop sign. And we start not to pay attention. And that's when we get in trouble. When we're driving, that's how accidents happen. We're not paying attention. The other person's not paying attention. So we get at ease in our spiritual lives, and that's when Satan can come and whack us one. We go through that red light, and he hits it broadside. We have to pay attention. We have to not let down our guard. You know, driving a car, you know, it's a full-time job to drive a car, to watch behind you and out the side and in front, and you look ahead to, you know, you see brake lights on six or seven cars ahead, you should be starting to slow down, you know, because you know that there's danger. We need to watch for the dangers in our spiritual lives. Don't be at ease. Don't be too comfortable with the spiritual life that you have. Be watchful. Helaman chapter 2. Helaman chapter 2, verse 72. I didn't write down the page number. I got it written down on my paper. I'm not going to turn to it. But Helaman chapter 2, verse 72. I'm going to read 72 through 75. And remember also the words which Amulek spake unto Zizrom in the city of Anamohah. For he said unto him that the Lord surely should come to redeem his people, but that he should not come to redeem them in their sins, but to redeem them from their sins. And he has power given unto him from the Father to redeem them from their sins because of repentance. Therefore he has sent his angels to declare the tidings of the conditions of repentance, which bringeth unto the power of the Redeemer unto the salvation of their souls. And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation. That when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you. To drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if men build, they cannot fall. We build upon the rock of Christ. We build upon his doctrine, upon his gospel, upon his precepts. We build upon that. And when we build upon that, then when Satan sends those things to distract us, to tempt us, to lead us away, we're not going to yield to them. Because we're built upon that sure foundation. We know what the Scripture says. We know what we're not supposed to do. And we're given the strength through the Scripture, we're given the strength of our association with our brothers and sisters. We're given a strength of the preached word, of prayer and testimony, of association. We're given the strength to resist Satan. None of us can stand and say, I've never been tempted. I will never be tempted. Or I've overcome something that Satan can never bother me again. Because he can always tempt us. And when he does, then we can turn to that sure word of God. We can turn to the Scripture. We can turn to the rock of our salvation. And what did Christ do? What did he do? Second Nephi chapter 12. Beginning at the 17th verse. Page 154, this one's on. Nevertheless, they are led that in many instances they do err because they are taught by the precepts of men. Oh, the wise and the learned and the rich that are puffed up in the pride of their hearts, and all they that preach false doctrines, and all they that commit whoredoms and pervert the right way of the Lord. Woe, woe, woe be unto them, saith the Lord God Almighty, for they shall be thrust down to hell. And this is some of the temptations of Satan. People that are preaching opposite the gospel of Christ, enticing us to commit whoredoms, to yield to the powers of Satan. Woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say that it is of no worth. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth, and in that day that they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. The world is going to perish. Revelation. John said, come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon, that ye be not partakers of her sins, of her plagues, of the wrath that's going to come upon this earth. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. But behold, that great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, must tumble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof, for the kingdom of the devil must shake. And they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good, and others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. Perhaps that's the danger to the church of Christ. Perhaps that's the danger to our souls, that we're too at ease, that all is well. Here I am, I'm fine, I'm secure, I'm safe. Nothing's going to harm me. We have to be watchful. We have to be careful. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flattereth away and telleth them, there is no hell, and saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. Satan is tricky. Is wily. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. Do we give God our best? Do we give Him our best? Do we give God the best of our thoughts? The best of our desires? Do we give God the best of our riches? Do we give Him the best of our service? Do we give God the best of our lives? Or do we hold back? Like our brother said this morning, do we hold back? Do we take that ox that may be a little sick or is useless anymore, and we offer that to God? Do we offer God what's left over of our lives? Do we spend our energy pursuing the things of life and give God what's left over? Or do we give Him the best that we have? Do we give Him first, our first of our energies, the first of our thoughts and our desires? Do we give Him of our strength? Have we completely overcome Satan in our life? Are we there yet? Have we completed our journey? You know, I told Brother Bob before this sermon, I said, it's going to last somewhere between 20 minutes and an hour. And we were kind of talking, you know, and him and I are in the same way, but, you know, he says, I come to a point where I'm done. And, you know, it's been 20 minutes, and I think I've come to a point where I'm done. Are we there yet? Have we completed our spiritual journey? Have we completely overcome Satan in our lives? Have we accomplished the goals that God has for us? Have we accomplished the goals that we've set for ourselves? Just a few thoughts to contemplate and to think about. Is our righteousness sufficient before God? Are we sufficiently strong in the gospel to overcome Satan? Have we sufficiently built our spiritual house on the rock of Christ? That when Satan does buff, and he's going to, these things that I just read that he's going to say to the world, he's going to say the same things to us. He's going to try and pacify us. He's going to try and lull us away. He's going to try and make us angry. He's going to try and say, oh, don't worry. You know, don't worry about it. Are we sufficiently righteous? Are we there yet? And as long as we're traveling on this spiritual journey of life, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. May God bless us in our endeavor to serve Him. May He continue to bless us in our desire to serve Him. And may our righteousness increase. May we be that strong and that mighty people that cannot be swayed, that cannot be swayed by the things of the world, by the doctrines of men, that cannot be swayed by what people may think or people may say. Because we are built. We are built upon that sure foundation. We are built upon the doctrine of Christ. We're built upon the gospel of Christ. We're built upon the rock of our salvation. And as long as we're built upon that, we cannot be swayed. Let's make sure that we're built upon it. Let's make sure that our righteousness is sufficient. Let's make sure that we're giving God, as our brother said this morning, that we're giving God the best that we have. Not some blemished sacrifice, but we're giving Him the best that we have. May God bless us in our endeavor to serve Him. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Remember the announcements for the week. We're going to close this evening with number 350. Number 350. Shall we stand? My kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, as we would come together at the close of our service, we ask for Thy Spirit to be upon us. Thankful, Lord, for the message You caused to be brought to us, I ask that You'd help us to remember the thoughts that have been presented. Help us to remember our sacrifice for Thee. Help us to endeavor to give You the best that we have. Father, I pray that as we would go our separate ways this evening, that You would watch over and protect us, knowing that on the morrow we go back into the world of work and different activities. And I ask, Father, that You would strengthen us against those temptations that we face, and we would be good examples to our co-workers and those around about us to point them towards Christ. Father, I pray that You would bless our local here, that You'd strengthen us, Father, that You'd forgive us when we fail Thee, that You would always be a willing part of here. Humble us, Lord, or chastise us, whatever it might take. I pray, Father, for the church in all its parts, for our isolated members. I pray for the need for more ministry, Lord, that You would touch the hearts of men, that they would prepare themselves, that You would be able to use them as You would see fit, that the gospel would continue to go, and that Your prophecies would be fulfilled. We're thankful, Father, that we have that opportunity to be a part. I pray for each of us, Lord, that we might be found worthy, that we might be found doing Thy will upon Thy return. So, Father, I do ask these things in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.